your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Our chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to start off with a spoof by Corbett out of Japan, and it's called the 3-Minute Russian Gate. And you got to listen to this like tongue-in-cheek, but it's sort of humorous in places. And then we're going to get down to some serious history by Mark Levine as interviewed by Sean Hannity. But we're going to start off this first 3 minutes or so with a Corbett report and a tongue-in-cheek, really, really humorous 3 minutes. So here we go with Corbett.
On November 8, 2016, Vladimir Putin won the U.S. presidential election by getting his Manchurian candidate, Donald Trumpsky, into the White House as the crowning achievement of a decades-long plan to use P-tape compromat and real estate deals that never happened to get a reality TV star installed in the Oval Office. 12D chess master Putin then used that mind-control puppet to increase sanctions on Russia, expel dozens of Russian diplomats, sell arms to Ukraine, withdraw from the INF Treaty, build up NATO troops on the Russian border, stage a coup in Venezuela, and generally make life worse for Russia as part of his grand scheme to enable the rise of a new Russian empire. Mind-controlling the U.S. public with hundreds of dollars of Facebook Jesus memes, this modern-day czar carefully rigged the election by not hacking into any voting systems and by not hacking into the DNC servers, revealing that the DNC had rigged the election against and in favor of.
Why aren't I 50 points ahead, you might ask?
Luckily, the valiant U.S. media was all over the case.
Donald Trump has been a Russian intelligence asset since 1987.
The intelligence agencies knew what to do.
You take on the intelligence community, they have 6 ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
And St. Mueller was on the job, commanding an army of 40 agents, 2,800 subpoenas, 500 search warrants, 500 witnesses, 230 communication records, and a partridge in a pear tree. So we all knew that
the walls are increasingly
closing in on him.
Tonight the walls
are closing in.
The media admitted that the story was
mostly bullshit right now.
But that's okay, because we're living in a post-truth world and democracy dies in darkness. The intelligence agencies admitted that they
mess around other people's elections, yeah?
But that's okay, because it's
only for a very good cause.
The resistance spent years supporting disgraced attorneys, deranged liars, and anyone else who would support their narrative. But that's okay, because votes only count when your candidate wins. And after 2 years of investigation, Mueller delivered a report that brought some
troubling news. Our president is not a Russian asset.
And that's everybody would like to hear that from Robert Mueller as well as from Bill Barr. But, at this point, it's only Bill Barr.
But that's okay, because everyone knows Trump is a Russian agent anyway, so who needs that stupid Mueller guy? And now President Putin and his orange Cheeto puppet are laughing all the way to the brink of nuclear war in the Cold War 2.0, cheered on by the neo-neocons and their neo-lib friends and made possible by a new McCarthyist purge of dissenting voices. This is the official story of Russiagate, as brought to you by the MSM that delivered the hard truths on
Baghdad has failed to disarm its weapons of mass destruction.
And
Raidler's being assisted, he said, by the distribution of Viagra.
And
what if it was something fully that we don't really understand? A lot of people have been asking about that, about black holes.
If you doubt any part of this story, you are a no-good, dirty, treasonous, alt-right Russian bot troll who deserves to be censored from the internet forever. If you love truth, sunshine, ice cream, rainbows, kitty cats, and the 4th of July, then you will never question any part of this story. ever.
Next, we're going to get down to some serious history, and it includes Teddy Kennedy approaching the KGB to try to defeat Ronald Reagan, okay, of all people. So anyway, this is Mark Levine giving us some history and a build-up to what really went on. And there was a conspiracy, wiretapping, everything else against our president before he became president, even during the campaign. So here we go with Mark Levine, very serious business here.
Host of Levin TV and radio host. I call him the great one for good reason, Mark Levin. Great one. Thank me. You know, this has been such a revealing week, Mark. You know, and the funniest thing to me is, so Barr says, as I had planned the whole time and said so, I will be releasing the entire Mueller report. And then all of a sudden, he was wrong. He was wrong. Hope. How do you explain this hatred, rage, lying to an audience on a spectacular level?
You know, I've been thinking about this, Sean, how all this came to be and the targeting of the president of the United States and before he was president, the candidate. And I thought, you know what? We have seen something like this before. If you look at history, which is one of the reasons I wrote this book. You know, Franklin Roosevelt used the IRS against his political opponents. He went after Andrew Mellon, who'd been the Treasury Secretary under Coolidge, and tried to destroy him. Mellon had never done anything wrong. He paid all his taxes, and he wasn't even happy that they got him on some penalty. He wanted Mellon in prison. He unleashed the IRS against Huey Long, who he considered a very dangerous opponent, who had been the governor of Louisiana, then the senator of Louisiana, and he told his Treasury Secretary Morgenthau to tell the IRS to go after him. They went after him. And they almost got him, except he was assassinated, so that's how that ended. When you look at the administration of John Kennedy, which we're apparently not allowed to look at, it's called Camelot, he used the Internal Revenue Service and he used the FBI against his political opponents. And nobody knew that better than Ben Bradley, who would become the top dog at the Washington Post, but then was working at Newsweek, because JFK shared IRS information on his opponents with Ben Bradley. Laughed about how much they had or hadn't paid in taxes. He shared FBI files with Ben Bradley. Ben Bradley never reported any of that. If you look at Lyndon Johnson, Lyndon Johnson did the same thing. You know, Kennedy put taps on Martin Luther King's phones. They knew all about Martin Luther King's life. Lyndon Johnson continued that. Lyndon Johnson had the FBI surveil the Democrat convention in Atlantic City because he was concerned about his own opponents within his own party. He also had the IRS go after his opponents, and he also had access to FBI files, which he used. Lyndon Johnson tapped the phones of Hubert Humphrey, his own vice president, when he was running for president because he wanted to know what he was saying about the Vietnam War. He tapped the phones of his political opponent, Barry Goldwater. He knew what Goldwater was planning because they had his headquarters bugged. So they knew what was going on there, too. And I'll tell you what's interesting about all this, Sean. The media didn't give a damn. You talk about abuse of power. These were abuses of power. Now I want to bring it to present day. These are the practices of Democrat administrations. You might ask me, what about Nixon? Nixon did use the IRS. He picked up the practices of Lyndon Johnson and Kennedy. The media never went after Lyndon Johnson and Kennedy because they supported the Great Society and they were in love with Camelot. But Nixon they hated. So one of the charges, one of the impeachment charges against Nixon had to do with using the IRS. And of course Nixon was thinking to himself, wait a minute, they did it before me. It didn't matter. Because the Washington Post, the same Washington Post, the same Ben Bradley who had access to certain Internal Revenue information and FBI files as a result of Kennedy, they went after him. But why am I bringing all this up? Barack Obama. The IRS was used to go after the Tea Party. They viewed the Tea Party as a threat. We have never gotten to the bottom of that. The White House was immune. The president's like the bubble man. That is Obama. We never got to the bottom of it. He dismissed it. The media generally dismissed it. We have Barack Obama unleashed this same FBI against a reporter for the New York Times who he thought was undermining his administration. They unleashed the FBI against James Rose and a reporter for Fox News who they thought was undermining the administration. They surveilled up to 20 Associated Press reporters We had never seen anything like this in modern history, the way Obama treated the press. But the press didn't really care, did they? Because Obama was fundamentally transforming America. And that's pretty much what they wanted. CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times and the Washington Post, they want the fundamental transformation of America. And now, of course, the House Democrats, they've learned a lot from their Democrat Party past. What are they going after? The president's taxes. Taxes. They want the president's taxes, the way FDR went after Mellon's taxes and Huey Long's taxes, and the way that John Kennedy went after the tax returns of political organizations he opposed, or the way that Lyndon Johnson went after the tax returns of politicians he disagreed with. The Democrat Party has a long, sickening history of using the IRS and the FBI the way that the FBI and the Department of Justice was used against candidate Trump and now President Trump. And this is what I want to get to. The fact is, this all occurred in the Obama administration. It defies logic and reason to believe that the president of the United States back then, Barack Obama, knew nothing. That we had independent rogue operators in Loretta Lynch. We had independent rogue operators in all the top brass at the FBI. That we had independent rogue operators in Mr. Brennan and Mr. Clapper and the rest of them. This can't be. Obama and his inner staff had their fingers in everything, in every department and agency. Moreover, much of the information, the general information, about this effort to destroy the candidate of the Republican Party and then the president-elect was in the media because the FBI was leaking like a sieve. And what I'm suggesting to you right now is that there was this vast operation within the Obama administration. Hyper-unmasking of individuals over there in the intelligence agencies. The aggressive use of the FBI, including putting spies into the campaign of the Republican candidate for President of the United States, including using opposition research handed to the FBI from the Hillary Clinton campaign, washed through a few surrogates. They had a person over in the Deputy Attorney General's office with connections to the very operation that was doing that. No, these things don't just happen. And now we have the Democrat Party doing everything it can to make sure there's no focus on the corruption and the scandal. That is the real corruption and scandal of what took place. The fact of the matter is, Donald Trump is the victim. He's not the perpetrator. Look how smooth these guys think they are. Look how clever these guys think they are. They abuse the law. They undermine the Constitution. They abuse the FBI. They abuse the unmasking system. At President Obama, he's not investigated. He's not questioned. Hillary Clinton campaign funds part of it. She's not investigated. She's not questioned. The target, the victim, is the one who is investigated. And we should expect this from the media. And I'll tell you why. About, 35 years ago, information came out of the old Soviet Union because, you know, the walls fell down, the gates fell down, and information came out. And there was a reporter in Britain who dug through some of the information. He found something rather incredible. He found evidence, paper, documentary evidence. For those of you who, who like to talk about Mr. Mueller, you know, that's equivalent to DNA. Of Ted Kennedy, through a surrogate, contacting the KGB and the Kremlin to try and figure out had to defeat Ronald Reagan in his re-election effort. This isn't conspiracy stuff. This has been written about, not in the New York Times, not in the Washington Post. It's never been discussed on MSNBC or CNN. No, but others, professors, reporters overseas, the document, it's a memo, it exists, it's available for anyone to see. Ted Kennedy, who sought to be the Democrat nominee and lost to Carter and then was thinking about running again, he had contacted through back channels the Soviet government, and they were trying to figure out, Kennedy and his people, how to defeat Ronald Reagan, who was enormously popular. And Kennedy gave them some ideas that some of their apparatchiks should come to the United States and go on TV, you know, show that they're real human beings, and on and on and on. Now, what did the press do with that? Nothing. We have real collusion there. The lion of the Senate. You know, the line of the Senate, the man who they really wanted on the left and in the media to be president of the United States, had been colluding with communist Soviet apparatchiks, the head of the KGB. And nothing. There wasn't a hearing in Congress, certainly no special counsel. There weren't special reports on CNN or MSNBC or anywhere else.
This coming up is a plethora of several different reports on Sean Hannity's. So listen very carefully. This is very important. Here we go now.
What, did you not love that rally in Grand Rapids? Unbelievable. We got all the highlights. If you missed it, welcome to Hannity and a busy news night. Rush Limbaugh will be joining us tonight. Don Jr. also joining us moments away. But first, President Trump, he just wrapped up a massive rally in Western Michigan where, by the way, 140,000 people wanted to go to a, 15,000 seat arena. And he was touting his impressive record of accomplishments, the ones the media never talk about. And despite facing a political witch hunt for over 2 years, the president has guided this country on the right path with regulations and tax cuts and energy independence for the first time in 70 years, a booming economy, record low unemployment for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women in the workplace, and youth unemployment. The U.S. is now, again, the leader and the envy of the world. Why do you think so many people want to come here? Now, the haters were wrong. The media lied for two consecutive plus years. The deep state, thankfully, has now been exposed, and those responsible will be held accountable. For the president, who promised to make America great again. You know, when people wear that hat, it's a trigger for the left. Promises made, promises kept. Take a look.
This has been an incredible couple of weeks for America. The economy is roaring. The ISIS caliphate is defeated 100%. And after 3 years of lies and smears and slander, the Russia hoax is finally dead.
The president, the crowd on fire tonight. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we have a huge announcement. Big at the end of the show. All right, so while we have been busy reporting the truth, what's happened in the rest of the media? They have been waging through a psychotic rage, a political war against the president, and also we, the people, the smelly Walmart people, the irredeemable deplorables. And while we have been driven by facts and why we don't rush to judgment, we believe in due process, they have been blinded by hatred and rage. That's why we make sure we get it right on this program. Clearly, almost every big story, they get it wrong. That's why poor Rachel Maddow, with her tinfoil hat conspiracy hat, has lost all credibility. Why CNN and NBC are now experiencing dramatic ratings decline so precipitously, it's unreal and deserved. And that's why the tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist, Adam Schiff, the only one left standing, facing urgent calls, rightly so, to resign from his position atop the House Intel Committee. Take a look.
Your willingness to continue to promote a demonstrably false narrative is alarming. The findings of the special counsel conclusively refute your past and present assertions and have exposed you as having abused your position to knowingly promote false information. As such, we have no faith in your ability to discharge your duties in a manner consistent with your constitutional responsibility and urge your immediate resignation as chairman of the committee.
I think it's immoral. I think it's unethical. I think it's unpatriotic. And yes, I think it's corrupt and evidence of collusion. I don't think it's okay that his attorney lied to our committee. There's a different word for that than collusion, and it's called compromise. I will not yield. Mr. Master, you
don't yield because you just made some things about all of us that I think we all should get the opportunity to respond to.
I will not
say
yield.
Now, remember, it was known leaker and liar, Adam Schiff, we call him the cowardly Schiff on this program, who claimed to have clear evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. He's promising that. Now that, of course, Robert Mueller's all-powerful 22 months, $25 million probe found nothing, as did the nine-month investigation of the FBI and the House Intel, Senate Intel committees, he is in Congress still claiming to have the smoking gun evidence that those four investigations did not find. President Trump, well, he's calling out the cowardly Schiff. Take a look.
Little pencil neck Adam Schiff. He's got the smallest, thinnest neck I've ever seen. He is not a long ball hitter. But I saw him today. Well, we don't really know. There could still have been some Russia collusion. Sick, sick. These are sick people. And there has to be accountability because it's all lies, and they know it's lies.
There has to be accountability. President's right. He's on fire tonight. Now, we have invited many times the cowardly Schiff on this program. Present his damning evidence, the one that the FBI, the House Intel, the Senate Committee, and Robert Mueller didn't find about Russia collusion. Come at your case. He's always declined coming on this program, and I offered 3 hours of radio. That's because he's been lying to you, the American people, for political gain. But guess what? We're announcing tonight on this program that I have my own dossier on the cowardly Schiff. Basically, him in his own words for 2+ years. We'll play him in his own words. Now, remember when he actually was caught on tape colluding with people that he actually believed were Russian sources, trying to get compromising materials on Trump to impact our electoral system? Oh, he's caught on tape colluding. You cannot make this up. This is how dumb this man is. Take a look.
And she met with Trump and she brought him 1 hour Russian girl, celebrity Olga Buzova, who also known as a person with a strange reputation.
Olga, and how do you spell her name?
Olga Buzova.
And what's the nature of the compromise?
Well, there were pictures of naked Trump.
Mm-hmm. And so Putin was made aware of the availability of the compromising material?
Yes, of course.
Thank you very much. We will be back in touch with you through our staff to make arrangements to obtain these materials for our committee and for the FBI. And I appreciate you reaching out to us.
It's like the greatest tape we ever play. He's caught on tape colluding with Russians. Unbelievable. Now, California's 28th district, well, you obviously could do better. Schiff should resign as a disgrace. But Schiff is not the only bad actor who has been utterly humiliated by this probe. Also disgraced, CIA director turned NBC, MSNBC, tinfoil hack, conspiracy theory network hack, John Brennan. He's called the president on multiple occasions a traitor, pushing collusion conspiracies as utter fact almost every day. And it turns out, yeah, he was lying on an extreme level. And tonight we're learning something very damning about John Brennan, and we will follow this story. Rand Paul, earlier today, tweeting out a high-level source telling him that it was Brennan who insisted that the unverified, fake, Clinton-bought-and-paid-for Steele dossier with Russian lies included in the intelligence report, that Brennan should be asked to now testify under oath in Congress as soon as possible. In other words, Brennan used his official position as CIA director to validate the phony Russian Clinton bought and paid for dossier. In other words, was he involved in this hoax? Was he trying to set Donald Trump up from the get-go? Now, that would be a blatant abuse of power. So how is this corrupt, discredited con man? How does he have a job at NBC? Andy Lack, phone, might want to talk to him. Now, it's our promise to you, and we take this seriously. Every single night, every single person, every member of the deep state, not rank and file FBI, they're awesome. The greatest law enforcement agency on the planet. But the others, the few, we will hold accountable. And with the help of key lawmakers, dedicated investigators, equal justice under our law, equal application of our laws will happen. Our constitutional rights will be upheld. Now, take, for example, ranking Intel member Doug Collins. Today, he followed up again, releasing even more transcripts from his committee's closed-door hearings, things we'd never heard before. Now, this batch included testimony from Nellie Orr. Remember, Nellie worked hand-in-hand with Christopher Steele of Fusion GPS. And he just happened to be married to the wife of disgraced DOJ official Bruce Orr. He was once the fourth highest-ranking member at the DOJ. Now, thanks to her released testimony, this is what we learned today. Nellie Orr admitted to meeting with Christopher Steele one day before the FBI launched its counterintelligence probe into Trump and Russia in 2016. One day before. Surprise, surprise. And her DOJ husband, Bruce Orr, was at the meeting. And according to her words and transcript, we learned tonight that Nelly Orr was instructed to dig up dirt on Paul Manafort and Michael Flynn. And lo and behold, guess what? Who ended up being targeted by the special counsel? Paul Manafort and Michael Flynn. And it doesn't stop there. She also admits to targeting Donald Trump Jr. and even the president's wife, Melania. And don't forget, as reported by The Hill's John Solomon, Nelly Orr even gave her husband a flash drive with her bought and paid for Russian lies in the hopes that he would disseminate it throughout the DOJ and the FBI. Remember, it was leaked to the media before the election. Why? To influence the election on behalf of Hillary Clinton. That's not all. Now, thanks to Orr's testimony, we know that a key source for Fusion GPS is the very same Ukrainian lawmaker who is accused of timing the release of sensitive information about Paul Manafort back in 2016 in order to help Hillary Clinton win the election. Ukrainian interference in our elections with Hillary, with real evidence. They have a tape in that case. Now get this. Irony of all ironies. A court in Ukraine ruled back in December those actions amounted to meddling in the 2016 American presidential election. So, yeah, there was collusion in 2016, bought and paid for by the Clinton campaign, the DNC. Now on the good side, let not your hearts be troubled. The deep state's day of reckoning is just around the corner. Next week, Congressman Devin Nunes will be issuing criminal referrals, many of them targeting those who have lied to Congress, committed a criminal conspiracy. There are going to be people now investigated, as we have been calling for over 2 years. President Trump has also, last night on this program, he has vowed to release all FISA documents surrounding Carter Page, a Trump campaign associate. They spied on him. They denied him his constitutional rights at the height of the election, which gave him a backdoor to spy on the Trump campaign. A few corrupt deep state bureaucrats, with the help of Hillary Clinton's bought and paid for phony, lying Russian dossier. Now, earlier, President Trump had this to say about the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal in American history that the media has ignored. Take a watch.
The Russia witch hunt was a plan by those who lost the election to try and illegally regain power by framing innocent Americans, many of them. They suffered with an elaborate hoax. They wanted to destroy a movement like our country has never seen before. The Democrats have to now decide whether they will continue defrauding the public with ridiculous partisan investigations, or whether they will apologize to the American people.
I've long said that President Trump is the disruptor we need in the Oval Office. He's not the establishment. The swamp needs to be drained. And you know what? Iconoclastic. Fighting to keep promises. Imagine that from a politician. He has, from the get-go, challenged all conventional thinking, and in doing so, exposed a dark, bureaucratic underbelly that is within our federal government. In doing so, he really is making America great again. And the statistics, well, they speak for themselves. According to Obama's former attorney general, though, Eric Holder, America, the country we love that beat back fascism and Nazism and communism and imperial Japan, yeah, is not a great country. It never was.
This is Eric Holder that comes up next, but we're going to skip over. And what Eric Holder was saying on these interviews was that, you know, he's criticizing that America was never great and so forth and so on. Well, then how come all these great Americans gave their lives for preserving our freedoms and liberties? So you got to look at that, you know, a very, very, very hard look at that and agree with, we've lost some fine individuals in this country who came from some good families, and they did defend the shores of this country and the principles upon which this country is built. It's just that we've got these elements now within the country that are being controlled by the ultra wealthy, and they're trying to bring about a world communist state so that they can you know, level it down and make us all peasants and slaves to the to their system. So anyway, coming up next, we're going to get into some more and deeper go with Rush Limbaugh's exclusive interview by Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh's hard hitting. So here we go with some Rush Limbaugh coming up right now.
Live from EIB, Southern Command Headquarters, the most listened to talk radio host in the history of the medium, radio talk show legend, Rush Limbaugh. Hey, Rush, how are you?
I am fabulous. It's great to be with you tonight.
You know, for those that never got you, with half my brain tied behind my back, in a lot of ways, you're like Trump. You say these things and people bubble and fizz like Alka-Seltzer. They have no sense of humor. I'm not sure if I got through. We get stuck on the thing. So you say controversial things also. And you're joking when you say half my brain tied behind my back.
Well, no, actually, I do. I split my skull open and I take half of it out and I put it behind my back. It's like when I say talent on loan from God. I mean, these people, he's calling himself God. Can't believe that. You know, Sean, I've been listening to your whole show. The people that we're talking about tonight don't have a sense of humor. To them, life is a war. Every day of their lives is a battle. We are the enemy. Their effort is to eliminate us. Al-Qaeda is not their enemy, and ISIS is not their enemy, and socialism is not their enemy. Communist, we are. Conservative and Republican America, in their view, are the obstacles in their way to their desire to create this totalitarian state that they think is going to end up being a utopia. And I was listening to you and Don Jr. talking about this should never, ever happen again. I have to clarify, it is not over. It is still happening. The Democrat Party and the media and all of these people from the Obama administration who ran this scandal are still running it. The objective remains to get Donald Trump out of office, either by driving his numbers down or impeaching him or defeating him in 2020. Today, the New York Times has this story that the Mueller report is 300 pages and the Barr summary is 4 pages. Therefore, Barr is lying. Pelosi literally said that we cannot trust the attorney general. So what we're being led to believe by these people, remember, they have to feed their beast with this fake news constantly. They have created a monster that believes and absorbs and needs fake news like vampires need your blood. And these people are believing now that there is evidence of collusion in the Mueller report and that Barr is not telling the truth. And the New York Times is leading this effort. The rest of the drive-by media is going to pick it up because it prolongs the narrative that Trump is unworthy, that Trump cheated, that we need to redo the election results 2016. So we're being led to believe that this report does contain evidence of collusion. Barr's lying about it. Now, if this is so silly, if it contains evidence of collusion, then where is Mueller on television all night saying, wait a minute, that's not what my report says. My report has plenty of evidence of collusion. I had all these anti-Hillary people on my staff, and we found all kinds of evidence, and Barr is lying. Why isn't Mueller doing that if Barr is lying about what's in the report? So it is an ongoing effort to continue to attack and impugn the integrity and the decency and the qualifications of Donald Trump to be president of the United States. It's not going to stop. The media, I mean, look at this. If I told this story on the radio today, if I had lied to my audience for 2 years that I knew Hillary Clinton was being investigated, I had sources and that she was going down and she was going to be locked up. You can count on me. You can believe me. I'm hearing it from people that I trust. It is going to happen. 2 years, every day on my program, 15 hours a week, I pummel people with this. And then it turns out to be not true. I'm finished. I can't face my audience again. I've lied to them. They wouldn't want anything to do with me. I would try to apologize, but I wouldn't get away with it because I would have exploited them. I would have used them. I would have toyed with them. I would have manipulated. I would have lied to them. This exact thing has happened from MSNBC to CNN to the New York Times to the Washington Post. They're lying to everybody, and their audiences don't seem to care. Just give us more fake news. They want it. They can't accept that it's not true. They can't accept that Donald Trump is not a traitor. They're not happy to learn that their president is not a foreign agent. They're unhappy. We're dealing with deranged people who are not rational. We can't deal with them rationally. Karl Rove today said, Mr. President, you need to move on. You don't need to do an investigation. You don't need to find out what happened. Swing voters don't care. One thing that I heard that you guys were discussing and I completely agree with, we have got to get to the bottom of this. We've got to have people named. They have to be held accountable. If jail time is called for, they need to go to jail. They knowingly lied to the American people. The media were willingly complicit in this. They were not fooled. They wanted it all to be true. They ran a scam. They ran an effort to try to get Donald Trump thrown out of office. Normally, they're able to get rid of Republican presidents whenever they want to, but they failed with Trump. So now they're doing a new tack. The Mueller report must contain some evidence. Why, it's 300 pages. They're not going to give this up. And this is why there needs to be, I don't know if it's a special counsel. I don't know if it's literally charging people. But we need to get to the bottom of this and find out just how high up the Obama totem pole this goes. And I think it goes all the way up to Obama. I don't know how he didn't know about this. Brennan, Clapper, all of these people in his regime, leadership of the FBI, it's not enough to call it the worst scandal in the world. They almost got away with this, Sean. And the fact that we say it could never be allowed to happen again, it's still happening. They haven't changed their tack whatsoever. The objective remains, get rid of Trump, defeat us, however they can.
You know, I'm listening very, very closely to what you're saying.
That was with half my brain tied behind my back, by the way. Did you see me put it? Yeah.
Talent on loan from God praises God. If you really think about it, it doesn't take much to get. You know, I've listened to you. You syndicated the last year of Ronald Reagan. You've been a leader of the conservative movement. What you are saying is scary. That this is an attempted coup.
It is totally scary. I don't think the American people understand. This was not, ladies and gentlemen, don't doubt me here. It was not an investigation. There was never any evidence of collusion. Robert Mueller took this gig and opened his investigation without evidence. There was no evidence. He wasn't even given a specific crime to pursue. It was open, and it was go find a crime, because there weren't any crimes that had been committed. But what we just went through was not an investigation. Robert Mueller has known for a minimum, folks, of 18 months that there was no collusion. Why did he not shut it down 18 months? Why did he take the gig? He took the job knowing there was no collusion. The only collusion, we've been saying it ad infinitum, is Hillary Clinton with the Russians and Steele creating this dossier. And they try to pass this off as legitimate intel. You know, you talked about Brennan earlier. He met with the House Democrats yesterday. This isn't over as far as they're concerned. And Brennan is the guy who passed the dossier to Harry Reid. Everybody thinks it was McCain, and McCain played a role in this. But this was not an investigation. This was a coup. This was an attempt to find a crime. And the fact that they couldn't, with all of this money and 19 people on his investigative team, at least the lawyers who were from the anti-Trump camp, the donors to Hillary Clinton, and they couldn't find it. Sean, and ladies and gentlemen, you have to know that this, the passage in the Mueller report, where it says numerous entreaties were made by Russians to the Trump campaign, but that's not what happened. What happened is the FBI attempted to plant their own informers in the Trump campaign, one of them named Stephen Halper, a Cambridge professor, MI6, UK. They tried to get him hired in the foreign policy advisory role here during the campaign, and fortunately, whoever interviewed him didn't hire him. If he had been hired, and they tried to get two other people, if they had been hired, guess what they would have done? They would have started communicating with Russian agents they know, and then there would have been the collusion that the FBI was trying to create. There wasn't any. This is worse than anybody is being led to believe it is, because it's being called an investigation and Trump passed the test. They didn't find anything. They're not finished. They aren't through trying to get rid of Donald Trump. They're not through trying to overturn the election results of 2016. They're never going to finish trying to get rid of Trump, even if he's elected in 2020. They're setting up the impeachment now with all of this stuff. It's never. That's why these people need to be politically defeated and pounded into the ground to the point of irrelevance. And the way to do it is to educate as many Americans as possible to what happened. And you can't do that by moving on and saying, okay, well, we escaped this one, gang. Let's move on to the next agenda item here, which better be immigration, by the way. It is not finished, and it wasn't an investigation. There was no evidence ever of collusion. It should never have begun. Rosenstein should have never appointed anybody. The FISA warrants to spy on the Trump campaign were illegal. The judges there were either complicit in this or they were lied to and now don't care. We've got a two-tier justice system. The very foundations of this country have been attacked and assaulted, and the people who know it in the mainstream media are complicit in it instead of trying to blow it up and explain it to the American people. We're at a very, very dangerous point in the history of our nation, and there's just one guy standing up against all of this, and that's Trump. There's not another Republican that I know of. Maybe you do, Sean. There's not another Republican that could have withstood what Trump's put up with for 1 week. They would have been suing for peace. They would have been giving up. They would have acknowledged all this and resigned. It is a stroke of luck here that we've had Trump to put up with this. But the fact that it was attempted by unelected, the counterintelligence apparatus of this country, CIA, DIA, NSA, was turned against one man and his family, and by extension, his supporters and his administration, because he had the audacity to win and defeat Hillary Clinton. And these unelected people, these arrogant, elite, effete snobs in the so-called deep state administrative state, simply couldn't abide it and have not stopped. McCabe's still out selling his book on the basis that there's collusion. And we see Pencil Neck out there claiming that there's still collusion. And we got Swalwell. These guys, it ought to prove to everybody that it is an ongoing political project to get rid of Trump. They don't care about whether or not the Russians actually spied or actually affected the election, because they know it didn't happen. And if somebody was given the order to rig a presidential election, I don't even think it's possible. And Obama even said so. So this whole premise is ridiculous. It's not legitimate, and yet everybody's dealing with this as a serious investigation. Why do we dodge the bullet? Trump really. It's not an investigation. This was an attempt to throw him out of office just because he won and they didn't like it. It's no more complicated than that.
That is an extraordinary monologue. You know, Rush, there's a few.
No
of
teleprompter
us
here, Sean. No teleprompter.
No, you do not. That's all extemporaneous. You know, there are few of us here at Fox, Primetime, Laura, Tucker, Fox and Friends. There's you leading in talk radio. I'm on talk radio. Mark in talk radio. I've had an ensemble cast on this show that have dug deep. The 99.9% of media drive-bys bought it, sold it, hook, line, and sinker. And as they always do, get it wrong. That's never going to change, is it?
They didn't buy anything. They didn't buy anything. They were in on it. They don't feel any remorse. They're unhappy they failed. They don't care they lied to their audiences. They're not worried if their audiences are going to reject them. They're not worried if their audiences now don't trust them or believe them. They were in on it. They were complicit. They considered themselves to be part of this elite gang inside the Beltway that runs the town. And they were in on it. And so all it is now is that they have failed. You know, I saw something where MSNBC Prime Time had a sudden, inexplicable 20% loss in audience one night this week. Now, what does that tell you? You're a broadcast professional. I'm a naturally talented, highly trained broadcast specialist. Let me tell you something. When she loses, Rachel Maddow or CNN, when they lose 20% of their audience just because this thing bombed out, it tells me that their audience is there not because of those people, but because of the fake news. And when the fake news bombs out, when all these expectations that Trump is going to jail, Trump is going down, well, he's not. It didn't happen. They failed. And so MSNBC cannot serve their expectations anymore, and their hosts are not enough to hold the audience. It's nothing other than a testament to the fact that they create an audience that wants to believe a bunch of lies, wants to believe the worst about their country because they get up every day doing that already. And now what are they going to do? That's why these people have to come up with the new hook. The Mueller report is 300 pages. Barr summary is 4. There's got to be collusion there. Now they're trying to get everybody worked back up, lying to them again, continually lying to them, misrepresenting the truth, manipulating these people. It's no wonder we can't come together, Sean. Whoever it is that watches the drive-by media and primetime cable on the left, there's no way we can ever have anything in common with them. They're being told, they're being instructed to literally hate this country because it's unjust, it's unfair, it was founded immorally or something. This is a dire circumstance when facts and truth don't even have a chance with a certain segment of the population, when they have been trained and conditioned to want to believe the worst and want that. You would think that they would be happy that the president didn't collude, that the Russians didn't determine the outcome of the election. But now look what they've even done to that. Every election going forward is tainted. The Russians, every time the Democrats lose, it's going to be some external factor. It can't be that they lost because they were rejected. No, it's going to be the Russians or some other foreign agent got in there and cheated and stole it from whoever their next nominee is. That's why there shouldn't be any attempt across the aisle, make common ground. We don't have any common ground with them. They need to be pummeled into the political dirt and become acknowledged as the minority they are. And I'm dead serious about this. Dead serious about it. We're in a crisis in this country because the media has given up even the pretense of objectivity. They are now leftist activists pushing an agenda, and this one failed, so it's on to the next one.
As I listen to you really closely, this is ongoing, but there's another factor. Look to 2020, new Green Deal. What do you see on the horizon politically?
New Green Deal. Okay, look, here it is. What is the selling point of the Green New Deal, that we've got 12 years to live? That 5% of the nation, of the world's population, because it's the United States to blame, right? It's the United States has to engage in all the fixes. The United States has to do all the reparations. The United States has to fix it because we are destroying the climate. 5% of the world's population, and we've only got 12 years. Let me tell you, if we've only got 12 years, then we better just throw everything out the window and start doing everything we want to do every day, because we're going to be dead in 12 years if we don't enact their stupid. It's absurd, the idea that anybody could believe this intellectually, if they actually take a moment. By the way, how many? I remember in 1988, I'm watching This Week Needs David Brinkley, and they've got some guy on there, Alan Oppenheimer. We've only got 20 years to save the world. Can you prove this has happened? Well, no, but we can't take the chance that it isn't. So we need to implement policies immediately. Then Ted Danson came along in 1980 and said, we get 10 years. If we don't fix the oceans, we're going to die. This is something that gets recycled. We don't even have the power to impact the climate. We can't change it for better or worse, but it is constantly changing. All we can do is adapt to it. We're the best in the world at that. Green New Deal, they can't even support it in the Senate when it comes up for a vote. And it's another lie. And it's another example of how they're manipulating and misrepresenting their unfortunately sick base. The sick base wants to hear this. They want to hear that we're going to die. They want to hear the apocalypse is coming. They want to hear that life is nothing but eternal suffering. And they want somebody to pay the price for it. If it's the rich, if it's billionaires, if it's corporations, if it's Republicans or whoever else. So these people are happy. They are happy to lie to their own voters and tell them life ends in 12 years unless we do what? Retrofit every building, stop cows from farting, stop eating beef. It's insane.
Rush.
And you can go through there. Yes, I know I've got diarrhea.
No, Sean.
I'm sorry.
Listen, I really have one more question. I don't get you in the chair. Can you stay? I got to charge confiscatory rates. They're going to kill me for not breaking. Can you stay for one more question?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be happy to. I'm just going to light a cigar here while you're doing that. And I'll be right over here when you get back.
All right, as we continue our exclusive Rush Limbaugh, Rush, this may go down as your greatest rant ever, but the most important because of... No, I'm serious. I'm being extraordinarily objective.
Well, it's what happens when you have a lot of... Well, it's what happens when you have a lot of time, so I appreciate that, Sean. You're very, very generous.
Listen, this is really important what I'm going to ask you. You say we must defeat them. 2020 is around the corner. How?
Well... obviously, defeating them requires the president being reelected, and I'm going to tell you, in my estimation, the one thing that he needs to zero in on is immigration. I know he wants the Republican Party to become known as the party of health care, because that, you know, that's a tangible thing that really matters to every human being in this country. But I'm telling you, he was elected on immigration and stopping it. Sean, we suspended immigration in the United States from 1921 through 1965 in order to assimilate all those who had come into the country legally from the late 1800s through 1920, Ellis Island and all that. We had to assimilate them. They had to become Americans. They had to join American society, American culture. That isn't happening. We have a political party opening the border for illegal immigrants to come. What happened to the rule of law? I think the president should shut the border. If he shuts the border and builds the wall, there is nobody, Sean, that can beat him in 2020. It remains the issue for the vast majority of freedom-loving, constitution-loving, American-loving citizens. If it doesn't happen, the country that we know and love, America, there's always going to be an America. But it's not going to become it's not going to remain a constitutional republic as founded if we don't get ahead. It's nothing about these people that makes them bad. It's the rule of law. Once you allow people to break the law, once you signal lawlessness is okay, then where does it stop? These people are not being conditioned to assimilate. The Democrats don't want them to assimilate. The Democrats want to keep them poor, want to keep them dependent so that they will always vote Democrats. The Democrats are not compassionate people. The Democrats need a permanent underclass. They want these people to come in here, remain poor, remain in need. If they're going to be here, let's turn them into productive people that can help this country grow. But right now, we've got to stop the flow. And if Trump does that, Sean, with a wall or shutting the border for a little while to make sure we get a handle on those who are in the country now, nobody can beat him.
Let me go to the other issue, and that is the economy, foreign policy. You know, here's the bigger question. Where is the backbone of other Republicans? I'm not a Republican. I'm not registered Republican. I'm a conservative because I think they're weak. Where is their backbone?
Well, we talk this about this a lot every time we get together. And look, the Republicans for the first 9 months of Trump's first year thought they believed this scandal crap, and they thought Trump was gone, so they wouldn't get behind the agenda. Half of them didn't want him to win. Look at all the Republicans that resigned, ostensibly because they were losing their committee chairmanships. But we wouldn't have suffered this massive midterm loss if so many hadn't resigned. The Republican Party is not unified. American conservatism is not unified. And so right now, Donald Trump remains the unifying figure, or at least the blunt force figure That can't, look, everybody wants to be in the bright lights of winning. Even these Republicans you're talking about, they'll be glad to show up when the fighting's over and shake hands and put their hands in the air in the bright lights and act like they played a role in it. Maybe so, but waiting around for them to get on board I don't think we have the luxury to do that. We have to bring them on board. Like, we have to bring the swing voters to our side, not go defensive and try not to offend anybody and hope we show them we're nice people. If we haven't proven that we're nice people after all of these years, it's a lost cause. We have to engage in issues that matter. Most of the American people are going to improve their lives, going to make them feel trust and hopeful about their country and their future. There are gobs of people that want to feel this way. There are gobs of people out there that want to be proud of this country, and I just tap into it and make it happen. I see the yep. There I go again.
No.
Thank you.
Listen, thank you. This is perhaps an epic monologue that will be looked at for years. We can't thank you enough, Rush. Thank you very much.
Rush Limbaugh is hard-hitting, along with Sean Hannity. For the last 2 years, Sarah Carter, John Solomon, Greg Jared, and others, many others, along with Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, and Shannon Bream, and many, many others, mostly on Fox, have been trying to uncover this attack. And it was an attack. And it was a wiretapping thing, and there's going to be some people called before Congress next week by Devin Nunes. I think NSA, head of NSA, perhaps Brennan and people like that, to testify. And there's going to be some hard questions. Some of this will be behind closed doors, so we're not going to see it initially, but it may come out later. But the president this week said that the FISA applications will be declassified, so we should be able to see those fairly soon. And those were misleading the FISA court judges. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, IFA, is what FISA stands for. And they set up a special court. It was the secret court. Now, it's sort of like the Star Chamber was in England. And I'm not for anything that resembles the Star Chamber that was set up over in England, because secret courts have a way of rendering secret judgments, and they're away from public scrutiny. And I'm not for denying the public the right to scrutinize everything that government does, whether it's in or out of court. And also, the publications of all court documents should be public accessible at all times. So I'm not into this thing that this FISA court should be there. I think we've got to try to reform and make some major reforms about that. I see down the line that Google and all these big internet companies are coming under scrutiny of President Trump now. There might be some kind of an antitrust breakup type of legislation. But see, we've got the Democrats in there in the House, controlling the House now, so we probably won't see any of that. See, I just don't think that they're going to help us. Now, on this immigration problem, they've overwhelmed our border to the south, and we just got to close the border or do something that's going to stop the influx into our country. I want to thank everyone out there for listening, and this is George Butler. And with my co-host, Charlotte Littlefield, she's been off tonight. But anyway, we want to thank you for listening. And good night, and God bless everyone out there. Thank you. Good night.